That's only like the 10th thing you've said that I never heard before.
Well, Neil, it's my pleasure. But dropping down a little bit, obviously beyond the antibodies and the vaccines, I do want to emphasize that we also have new proteasome inhibitors. And one that perhaps has been under the radar screen for a while is merizumib. And this is a beta-lactone that targets the beta-5, beta-1, and beta-2 subunits all in one. It's unique in that regard. And it's very exciting. It's been developed actually in brain tumors because in the original phase one we did with merizumib and myeloma, we noticed some CNS side effects that were manageable but real. And we therefore hypothesized that this must be crossing the blood-brain barrier, which the other proteasome inhibitors don't. And sure enough, it does. And it went to modeling in GBM, and it's very active.
Huh.
So now it's in clinical trial, and those are going very well in glioblastoma.
IV?
It's an IV, but it has an oral preparation as well. So it's got the promise of oral bioavailability and activity as well. But in myeloma, frankly, Neil, it's active when we combine it with POM. And it's also very excitingly effective in CNS myeloma, which is obviously a rare bird, thank God, because it's extremely difficult to treat. But it's becoming more frequent. As patients live longer, the CNS involvement with myeloma is increasing. And so we actually published a case for a series in the British Journal of Hematology this year, where we showed that merizumib in combination with other drugs was effective in CNS myeloma. So
what's the usual, is it meningitis or?
Yeah, it's typically leptomeningeal spread. Interesting enough, myeloma prefers that. It's like lymphoma in that regard to solid plasmacytoma within the parenchyma of the brain. That's vanishingly rare. But leptomeningeal spread of disease is not. And that basically is uncommon, thank goodness. But to say that it's unseen is not correct. The frequency of CNS myeloma, I think, is clearly increasing as patients live longer with the illness.
Just out of curiosity, about how many people in your practice right now have leptomeningeal myeloma?
In our group, we have probably at this any one time, we have 3 or 4 patients affected by it. Obviously, their prognosis can be very challenging. We typically use craniospinal radiation. In terms of intrathecal therapy, the only effective agents really are intrathecal thiotepa, which is not easy to access. It's an alkylator, obviously. But we do then use whatever you have. Could it be Ara-C? Unfortunately, methotrexate you can use, but it's not particularly active in my experience. And obviously, use dexamethasone.
Have you had any patients like that who you gave this other proteasome inhibitor to?
Right. Well, exactly. This was the case series that we published in British Journal. And again, it's just a couple of cases, but the principle was the point that you could administer merizumib. It does cross the blood-brain barrier. And in these cases that we reported, there was activity seen. So it's a future direction.
You see clinical improvement?
Oh, absolutely. Both clinical and radiological.
Radiological also.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. And also based on cell count as well.
Do you think it's possible that, or likely that there may be significant numbers? Doesn't sound like it if you guys only have 3 or 4 patients, but what I was going to say is that people are missing it.
Great question. Again, fortunately, it's rare because it's not easy to treat and it's lethal. But the fact is that as patients live longer, this is going to be an increasing challenge, in my view, as a sanctuary site. But I think independent of the CNS indication, and I think, frankly, merizumib is probably going to be approved for glioblastoma, actually, as the first proteasome inhibitor in that space. Yes, I would speculate it is because it's going into phase 3 studies. And in that context, it's exquisitely active.
Do you see objective responses with GBM?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
The important point is that merizumib is also, and I think this is the important point in myeloma for folks to hear, obviously it works in myeloma systemically. And what in our trial that we published, we showed that even after bortezomib and carfilzomib failure, basically meriz could help patients and restore response. And the science behind that's strong because it affects beta-5, beta-1, and beta-2. It covalently binds those subunits. Now, why that's relevant, Neil, is this. Because when you inhibit beta-5, which is what exazomib, bortezomib, and carfilzomib do, beta-1 and beta-2 get upregulated to compensate for the beta-5 inhibition. Merizumib has the value of hitting all three.
Wow.
So there's real science behind why it may be, as it were, when lenalidomide fails a patient, when you use pomalidomide, for example, if, say, bortezomib failed a patient or carfilzomib failed a patient, then merizumib would be your next go-to.
What are they thinking in terms of when it might get approved for GBM?
Great question. I believe in the next few years we'll see that. I think so. The idea for applying it in CNS tumors came from us, actually. But in terms of the actual clinical development, that's in process.
That's so fascinating. I'm so happy to hear that about GBM. What a tough situation right now.
Neil, I completely agree with you. GBM is a hideous disease, and I think that they need a biological agent, and proteasome inhibition biologically makes great sense in GBM. So the fact we've got one that can punch into the disease is critical. So I agree with you. I think it's very promising.